Well, I think he's spiking the ball in the end zone way too soon. You know, the thing that now is running and controlling that territory is an agreement not that the U.S. participated in, but rather between Vladimir Putin and President Erdogan. I mean, it was Turkey and Russia that came to an agreement in terms of that strip of property, you know, and land that borders Turkey and northern Syria. And at this point, I mean, I think because of the president's reckless actions, we have pretty much conceded any role and the notion that there's any guarantee that Turkey is going to avoid further war crimes, which President Trump's own Syria envoy described as happening in the last week or so, is completely unclear. And lifting sanctions, you know, against a country that violated the border of another country, in my opinion, certainly with at least the blessing of Vladimir Putin, is not a place where I think U.S. foreign policy should be today.
When you hear him make a speech that seems to, on several counts, go against the reporting and the reality of a situation, what's your personal reaction to all that?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I mean, as a person, I'm fine. I mean, I'm going to just keep doing my job and you know, responding to questions like yours as I would any other day. What is really troublesome is the harm that I think his, you know, behavior and misstatements create in terms of our standing in the rest of the world. You know, being on the House Armed Services Committee, we get to interact with a lot of other countries in terms of their embassies. As chairman of Sea Power, you know, a lot of naval issues with other countries. I've been overseas in the last year a couple of times as well. And you can really feel it, how, you know, the reliance on our country as really just a rock-solid, stable, you know, arbiter of, you know, freedom and democracy has really been undermined in terms of just the way he's conducted foreign policy. And, you know, that's something that I think as we watch Trump appointees who served in the State Department, who have, you know, been parading through the Intelligence Committee, has been a consistent theme, is that they are all, you know, people who've served this country overseas and are alarmed at the harm that's occurring right now in terms of our stature, and just the whole notion that we're a reliable ally has been called into question.
Republicans have walked up to the SCIF where the Intel Committee is having hearings today on the impeachment inquiry and are basically demanding to get in. What are you hearing about that so far from that side of the building?
Well, considering the fact that the Republicans have been in the SCIF, the classified room where these depositions have been taking place, it's a bit of a head-scratcher to me. Their demand really doesn't make any sense because Republicans on the Intelligence Committee have been present at every single deposition. If you look at the length of those depositions, which have in some cases gone on 9-10 hours. The reason that's taken so long is because the process is bent over backwards to allow them to ask as many questions for as long as they want in terms of the witnesses that have come forward. So the notion that this is a partisan process where Republicans are not allowed to participate, it's just not the case. And so, you know, I mean, I get it. There are times when people, you know, do protests, even in Capitol Hill. We had one a number of years ago because of, we couldn't get a vote on background checks. But, you know, in that case, there was actually a very specific ask, which was to get a vote on background checks, you know, for purchase of firearms. In this case, saying that, you know, they're protesting the process because they're not being allowed in, when, in fact, they have been in and every single minute of the process, as I said, just is a head-scratcher. I don't know where they're going with this.